Morning, everybody. Morning. Good to see people. And wasn't it great seeing such a crowd of children going out to our children's groups this morning? That's prayer answered as well. And it's great to see everybody this morning. Great. Well, you might think, well, Amanda's come up, but have we had the Bible reading? Well, hopefully you were given a card as you came in this morning. And if you've got that card, Paul, there's quite a few people shaking their heads at me. So if you could raise a hand if you haven't got one of those cards to take home. It is up on the screen, but I would love you to have one of those in your hand. Brilliant. Thanks very much, Paul, my glamorous assistant for much of my life, which is great. Okay, so we are the Bible readers on the rota this morning. So I'd love it if we could read this together. So we're reading Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, it is a real privilege to be able to speak today. If you're given a topic to speak on, how better? Well, there's no better topic than speaking hope. So I pray, Lord, that your words of hope will be heard today. So we're in a four-week sermon series in Lent, looking at key things of the Christian walk and life. Faith, hope, love, and forgiveness. It's great to be able to look at these topics together. During Lent, we do seek to take time to reflect, time to grow as followers of Jesus. And my prayer for each of us today is that we grow in assurance of the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I heard a story of a man who worked for the Church Army. I love the Church Army. They're a great organisation that go about showing God's love and talking about Jesus. A few years ago, this particular Church Army officer was involved in supplying food to homeless people in the Charing Cross area. And he got to know a 21-year-old man called Matthew. As well as supplying food and building a relationship, the guy from the Church Army was able to talk to Matthew about God's love and about all that Jesus had done for us all. Matthew responded to this good news, and through help and through his faith, life began to take different steps forward. One day, the Church Army officer said to him, "Matthew, over the next month, I'm going to be on platforms speaking to thousands of people. One of the sessions I'm going to be speaking at is the whole General Synod about mission. What piece of advice do you want me to give the Church of England today?" Matthew replied, "The Church's job is to stop arguing and bring people hope." Hope is such an important thing. And I'll be honest with you, and I'm going to come clean right now and tell you that I read that story in a Church Army magazine a long time ago. And I checked back on my files on my computer and I used it in a sermon on Remembrance Sunday 2013 during my curacy, over 10 years ago. Lord, bless Matthew today and bless that Church Army officer. Over 10 years ago. But I wonder if you'll agree with me that it could very easily have been an interaction heard in the last few weeks. Matthew's reply was so clear. The church's job is to bring people hope. I pray that the church at large and the church of St. Mary Withal can bring people hope. And for this to happen, for this to be so, I see that we need to be a people of hope, being assured of the message of hope in Jesus Christ, and acting as a church that brings hope. A people of hope with a message of hope being a church that brings hope. We can be a people of hope because we know the one who is hope. Our text today, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. This states that our God is the God of hope. It also goes on to say that we can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's quite interesting and odd, but was my choice, to speak on one verse. But obviously I'm going to refer to other parts of Scripture. When we look at the Paul's letter writing to Timothy, in the very opening of his letter, he writes this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and of Jesus Christ, our hope. God of hope, Jesus Christ, our hope. Hope is found in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we are in relationship with God, who not only brings hope, but is hope, then we become people of hope. As we journey through Lent and look towards Easter, we know that much of what we as Christians know of as hope comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus. His death that brings us forgiveness. It's great when we gather on a Sunday to be able to make our confession. The stuff I've done wrong, you've done wrong, and to have that forgiveness proclaimed over us. The hope of a fresh start, of new life, because we're forgiven in Jesus. But also, of course, his resurrection that brings us the certain hope that death does not have the final word. The hope of eternal life. And remember, eternal life is the gift given to everyone who believes in Jesus. And eternal life begins the moment we put our trust in Jesus. Begins now. We're in it now. It's now and still to come. Have a look at this verse from the beginning of 1 Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Through, how do we get that living hope? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope comes from Jesus' resurrection. Our hope is the fact that he conquered death, so death holds no sting for us. I love the way this verse refers to a living hope, something we're going to sing about after this sermon. The hope we have in Jesus and in the resurrection is not that wishful thinking sort of hope. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, oh, I really hope it stays sunny into the afternoon. That's wishful thinking hope. But our hope in Jesus and the resurrection is certain. A hope not just of all that is to come, though, but a hope that makes a difference right now. And that's what we want to hear about, isn't it? We know about the hope we have for the future. But what difference does it make to you and me right now? Now, bear with me a moment, because I'm pretty sure, as someone who's been ordained 12 and a half years, that what I'm about to do is not felt to be good form. Okay, so I have checked around that the new Bishop of Birmingham hasn't slipped in, because what I'm going to do is acknowledge that we're in Lent, but in order to look tangibly at what hope means for us day to day, I'm going to look at a resurrection passage. We're not, I know, oh, someone's already, oh. If you write to the bishop, please write and welcome him. Don't tell him that your vicar talked about the resurrection in the middle of Lent. We're not even halfway, are we? Mothering Sunday, I think, is halfway through Lent. But I'm going to talk about Easter Sunday. Because in this verse we have on the screen in 1 Peter, we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So I want us to look at his resurrection and one of the resurrection encounters. So this is again where a Bible reading comes. And if you've got a church Bible, I'm on page 1089 and I'm looking in John chapter 20. And I'm starting at verse 11. So we're on Easter Sunday, everybody. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Such a beautiful encounter. This encounter between Mary Magdalene and Jesus. Now, Mary Magdalene had a rather colourful background. But in Jesus, she had found what she had always craved, love. She'd looked for it here, there, and everywhere, but not found love. But in Jesus, she had found unconditional love. Her life had been transformed by Jesus and the way he loved her. Now, that speaks volumes of hope in itself. No matter who we are or what we've done, whatever our past looks like, Jesus loves us unconditionally. And I think we see incredible hope in three places here in this post-resurrection interaction between Jesus and Mary. And these incredible places of hope are what I believe makes a tangible difference to you and me each day. Firstly, Jesus asks her, "Why are you crying?" Mary's grieving. She's just seen her friend, her Lord, go through the most horrific death, and now he's gone. Or so she thinks. But the hope here is that Jesus stands with her in her grief. Jesus asks, "Why are you crying?" He cares. He knows. He's there. And for Mary, it's a bit different because her grief is transformed because the one she grieves for is standing there. But there's a difference for us in our grief too. Whatever type of loss we have or are experiencing, maybe loss of success we'd hoped for, loss of role through changed circumstances, loss of health or mobility, loss of a loved one. Now, it's true, our losses and griefs aren't just taken away, but Jesus stands in them with us. And this is the hope that makes a difference today and tomorrow. He knows why we weep. He cares, and he's there. The wonderful Desmond Tutu has said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness." There is much darkness in the world, as much darkness in individual lives. but seeing Jesus, the light of the world, in it with us, brings hope. Jesus also says to Mary, "Who is it that you are looking for?" Jesus once again asks a question he already knows the answer to. And here Mary is looking for a person. Well, to be honest, initially she thought she was looking for a dead body. She is looking for him. It's said, and I think it is true, that everybody's looking for something. Everybody's looking for something or someone. We can ask ourselves and ask others in conversation, who is it or what is it you're looking for? I believe it's true to say that everyone will put their hope in something or someone. Much hope is put in oneself or in someone else. And self-confidence is good, and family and friendship and community are good too. But as hard as I try, it's difficult to bring much hope to myself. And as wonderful as my family and friends and the community are, they can only generate so much hope for me and to me. Whereas with Jesus, it's completely different. He is hope. He is the source of all hope. Who is it that you're looking for? And if you're looking for hope, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Our hope comes through the resurrection, but our hope is in the resurrected one. Jesus, our living hope, makes a difference to who we are, to our circumstances, to our purpose, to our security. I love it that our verse says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." Joy and peace found with that hope in Jesus. Thirdly then, Jesus says, "Mary." It's one of the bits I love in the Bible. He says, "Mary." She is known by name. Her past is forgiven, and she is loved unconditionally. We all hope to be known and loved, and this hope is found in Jesus. And as I repeatedly say, a hope that is certain, a hope fulfilled. You are seen. You are known. You are loved. Be filled again today with that truth and that hope. And it is because of Jesus that we are people of hope. We have a message of hope, which is the message of Jesus, his death and resurrection, his presence with us always. And because we have this message of hope, we can be a church that brings hope. I read this a couple of weeks ago. In the 1930s, early 1930s, during the Great Depression in America, flour millers became aware that people were making clothes out of the flour sacks. Now, I can't quite imagine that. I mean, yeah, there's various bits of trendy clothing. I'm not particularly into fashion. But, you know, a flour sack. Not only would there be the emblem of the mill on it, but, ooh, scratchy and horrible. Knowing that this was happening, they started putting the flour in patterned material sacks, so that colourful dresses could be made for girls and ladies. I was blown away by this. How thoughtful. How wonderful. Brothers and sisters, family of St. Mary's, if flour millers can bring brighter clothing, joy and smiles, just think what hope the church can bring. I feel immensely privileged to be called to lead St. Mary's at this time. And I see hope brought to our community in so many ways. I love the St. Mary's Friendship Club that puts on various activities for older members of the community. I see friendships formed. I see community happening. I, of course, absolutely love SCOF, where families come, a place to chat, to play games, to do crafts, to have fun, to have a hot meal. But most of all, this is a place and space where people come to belong. They come to be known by name. Our church is a church that holds out hope to so many people. And thank you to each and every person that's involved in these things. Our verse says that we should overflow with hope. If we're overflowing with it, it'll be extended to those around us. But also here today, that we overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The mission and ministry that we do in this church is not in our strength, but in the strength of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as I thought and prepared, thinking about us being a church that brings people hope, I remembered our time during the pandemic when we strived to be and to bring hope in the community. For those of you newer to St. Mary's, we're so glad you've joined the family and are part of it. And here's a bit of our history. For those of you who were around in 2021, here's a bit of a reminder. Once a month, we set aside a Sunday, and in the preparation for it, we visited on the doorstep, remember, and heard from and gave gifts to and prayed for different people in the community. We went to the care homes. We went to the GPs and pharmacies. We went to the schools and many different community gatherings. It was wonderful. I was challenged thinking about it, that our closed building prompted us to be out there, to take the message of hope and love in a difficult time. And I was interested to look at our hope in the community postcards and particularly to see what it said we were offering. Have a look at that for a moment. There's a great list of what we offer, what we hold out in hope. And we still offer these things: someone to chat with, practical help, prayer, worship in church, exploration of the Christian faith, free Bibles, life in community together. This is the church, and the church is its people, you and me. Our hope in the community project was in 2021, during a global crisis. But wouldn't it be fair to say that in 2024, there's a global, national, or local crisis in loneliness, low self-esteem, uncertainty of identity? It's probably also true to say that for individuals, some individuals, there's a crisis of poverty, a crisis brought about by shame. My prayer is that we work together, we listen together to God, to ask what does it mean and what does it look like to be a people of hope in our community. As I say, we're doing it in so many ways. It's such a joy. How wonderful that together we can hold out hope to others. But I would love you, if you hear God saying further things, identifying things in our community where there's hurt and pain and difficulty, then we should explore together what it means for a time such as this to bring a message of hope to our community. And so may you today be reassured of the hope you have in Jesus, our living hope, the one who knows you, forgives your past, and is with you. May we know and celebrate afresh this Easter the truth of our hope in the resurrection of Jesus, the life he gives us. And may we be committed as a church to overflow with hope in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring hope to our communities. And so as we close, I'd love us to read this scripture again as a prayer for ourselves and to pray over one another. So could I invite you to please stand? Lord, help us to be people of Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.